Open your Bibles. That was good. Enjoyed it very much. Open your Bibles to 1 Peter. I'm just going to read three verses right now, verses 6. Four verses, 6 through 9. Chapter 1, I'm sorry. Thank you. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the word we have in our hands. We thank you for the promises that it gives. We thank you for the blessings you brought to our life. We thank you for an opportunity to gather together as friends and as brothers and sisters in Christ and study your word, preach it, teach it, listen to it, pray about it. Lord, we pray that you touch every heart and life in this room today. Give me a freedom and an ease to speak that only you can give, and may your Holy Spirit use your word and touch hearts and lives for the better. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. First thing I would like to speak to you about, just to think about, is gold. Gold. Seen some of your movies and all the thieves are going after gold. They want gold. If you watch your advertisements on television, you'll have to find a fella coming in from Monex. You'll say gold is the safe investment, and all through the centuries, gold has been your security. What is more precious than gold? Do you know of anything more precious than gold? The truth is, most people don't. Gold, money, things, what it'll buy. You know why so many people gamble? They want to get rich. Now, if you're gambling for just pleasure, that's one thing. If you get pleasure in losing money, that's beautiful. You will be happy. But most people gamble to be rich. They want to make the big win. Now, I'm not an ex-alcoholic, but I'm an ex-gambler. Brian says I never quit. He said, I'm still a risk taker. Well, I'm not afraid of losing, and I'm not afraid of failing. I can do both. I've done both. But I will, if I believe I'm supposed to go a certain way, take the chance and go. So I am somewhat of a risk taker still, but I don't bet on anything. I won't flip a coin with you to see which one buys the Coke. I'll just buy you Coke. All you want to go out for a drink right now? What I'm saying is that there is a desire in us for money and things and wealth. Now, the thing about it is, that's most of the world. They would wonder, those of you that give, and not all of you give, but those of you that do give, and some of you give very generously to the work that we have right here, we thank the Lord for you. By the grace of God, that's a tremendous blessing. They wonder what you're doing it for. Why are you so crazy as to give to a church? There were a bunch of people over here yesterday. They worked real hard. I mean, the carpet looks beautiful and other things have been done around here. I mean, there was a lot of work got done. Very, very good work. I've had people say, what are you going over there for? What are you wasting your time? You're not making any money over there. Now, the truth is, most of you are so interested in money, security, your job, things, a house, the car that you drive, the clothes that you wear on your back, that it's the most important thing in your life. And you know the problem is? That's true of the church too. Not just the world. That's us. My wife had an uncle. back in the Depression, had a good family on a dry land farm, no money, almost starving to death, but proud people. Would not take anything from anybody. Mr. Bell, her father, had a job with the railroad all through the Depression. He was never out, and so he wanted to help them. They wouldn't take anything from him. So he devised a plan for this uncle. He bought a milk cow, and he asked this brother-in-law of his if he would keep it for him. So they had milk for their kids. And that's what my father-in-law did. Now, as things would turn out, right about the end of the Depression, they found oil on that land. That little old dry land farm, they found oil, and this family became rich beyond their imaginations. Money, house, things. When he was dying, he told my father-in-law, "I wish they'd never found any oil on my land. I wish I were back as a poor dirt farmer. My family loved each other then. But as he gets old, begins to die, the kids begin to argue over who's going to get what. And tore his family all apart. Some people are looking for the lottery. Now, I tell you the truth, I think you got a better chance of winning with a lottery than you do in Las Vegas. Now, you won't agree with me. But I'll tell you what, when they do the lottery, somebody gets it. You got no guarantee, but they're going to give you a little bit, and you keep coming back, you'll give them a whole lot more. But in the lottery, you pay your $1 or your $50 or whatever you're betting with, but at the end of the lottery that month, somebody becomes a rich man. What good does it do most of them? In 5 years, most of them are broke again. All the money that they got, all these things, and you know what it does? It tears up families. Knew of a lady that won the lottery and divorced her husband before she collected the thing. Didn't want him getting half the money. Is there anything more precious than gold? To most people's eyes, there isn't. But according to this Bible right here, there's something more precious than gold. It says right here, and this is such a beautiful verse. Look at verse 6. "Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season," talking about your salvation, "if need be, you're in heaven is through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire." Now, what the investment bankers would like to tell you is that gold's not going to perish. That gold is here for the long run. Gold is going to be around when nothing else is around. That's not true. When it takes your pickup and Louis' Mustang and it all burns up, the gold's going to burn with it. That's right. That little old Mercury I'm driving out there, or maybe it's a little big Mercury I'm driving out there, it's nothing but flammable material. It's going to perish, and the gold's going to perish. I was enjoying your message, Brian, because it coincided with some of the things I was thinking about this morning. One of these days, maybe today, it's going to be over. You're going to hear a shout, an archangel, "Come up!" And off we're going to go. Whew, praise the Lord. And all those jobs on that honey-do list at my house will never get finished. They may not get finished anyway. I'm getting slower and slower and harder to finish any job I start. And that irritates the daylights out of me. Now, it said it's more valuable than gold. And gold that perishes. What's it talking about? It's not even talking about faith. It's talking about the trial of your faith. Your faith being tested. It's one thing to sit in a nice auditorium with an air conditioner or a heater and a wonderfully comfortable chair and enjoy the teaching of the Word of God. Oh, that's nice. How will your faith do when it really gets tested by something that comes in your life? That's when your faith is valuable. I have money in the bank. I have food in my house. I have a place to sleep tonight. There's gas actually in my car. It's very expensive gas, but there is gas in my car. I'm driving and I'm moving and I'm enjoying myself. I'm with friends this morning. Amen. My faith isn't being tested. Tested faith is more valuable than gold. Amen. Now, what tests faith? There's a passage here. It says, verse 6, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. There's some heavy hearts in this room this morning. There's some hearts in this room that are heavy because of a tragedy come up on their life. There's some people in this room, their marriage is tearing apart. There's some people in here that haven't had a job in a while and they need a job. And they need some other. There are different temptations. It said manifold temptations. You know what that means? It means different, varied, numerous. It can be you want success and you keep failing. You know how frustrating that can be? Could be you're looking for a job and can't find one. Then when you find one, you get three. You don't know which one to take. You get yourself tested. You might be tested in your marriage. You may be tested in money. You may be tested in a lot of things, but your faith gets tested. You know what people say? I've had someone lose a little child. Little baby die. Why did God do this to me? Why me, Lord? I've had people get cancer. And they'd say, why me? Why did this happen to me? That's a testing of your faith. One of the various, many-sided tests of your faith. How can you not be in heaviness? You got cancer, you're going to die. You've got six children from 22 down to 12. You're in your 40s, and you're not going to live. Why me? Maybe you're laying in a nursing home. You're past 70 years old. You're ready to die. You want to die. But you don't die. They even make provision. You will not be taken back to the hospital. If you have a good heart attack, we're just going to leave you here and let it work and work. We're not taking you back to the hospital. And you still live. Why me? Why me, Lord? Why me? That's a testing of your faith. Your faith gets tested in many, many ways. And there are many heavy hearts for many different things. He said, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptation. We got it, verse 8. Whom having not seen, ye love, and in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. That's testing of your faith. Peter wrote this book. And he wrote it to people in Asia and Bithynia and Galatia and places scattered about. People with some real problems and some real trials, and they didn't have the life you and I have. Did not have the opportunity, did not have the blessings that you and I are just squandering day by day. We are so rich. He said, I saw Jesus. He could give his testimony. I walked with Jesus 3.5 years. I was one of his first that he called. He called me from fishing for fish to fish for men. Yeah. And I saw him there at the cross. I denied him. I denied him 3 times. I went out and cried bitterly. He looked at me. I saw him. He prophesied it. It took place. Ah, but then I want you to know, 3 days and three nights later, He rose from the grave, and we were having a meeting together, and He came and appeared with us and talked with us, and then we all went fishing, and there on the shore, on the side, He said, "Children, have you any meat?" Oh, Peter could talk from first-hand experience. You'd think that'd be a little easier. I don't know. He said, "You believe, yet you have not seen." How do you believe without seeing? Faith. Faith. Now, we have faith in someone we can trust. If my wife tells me it's raining outside, I don't have to go out and get hit with drops of water. I trust her. Why do I trust her? Well, I've been married to her 49 years, dated her a couple of years before that. She has pulled a joke on me once or twice, but it's generally the other way around. Me pulling stunts on her. I can see how she wouldn't trust me. But I can trust her. Her father was a very dear friend. I loved him and respected him. And one thing I respected about the man was his word was so good. He didn't profess to be a believer. He didn't profess to be a Christian. He was a moral man. And his word was good. If that man told you something, he'd do his dead level best to do it. And so if Rocky Bell told me something, I pretty well took him at his word. You believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary to save you from your sins. You believe that you're saved by believing. You believe that He saved you to keep you from hell and take you to heaven. And you've never seen Him. You never heard Him preach one time. You never saw a single miracle He ever performed. You never had anything in your life that you could hang on to and prove it with. You know what that takes? Faith. Faith. You're saved by faith. Well, it's not just faith itself. A lot of people believe in things. A very strong faith and a very weak bridge will get you in the water. But a very weak faith and a very strong bridge will get you across the river. It's not just faith, it's what the faith is in. It's faith in Christ, it's faith in God, it's faith in His Word, faith in His promises. What is a testing of your faith? You have never been to heaven. You have never seen heaven. You have never seen Jesus. You've never heard Him preach. The only way you can believe Him is by faith. So one of the temptations not to believe is you have never seen. There's another thought here. He said, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. That's faith. The result of your faith. What is your faith producing? Do you have faith? Well, what has that faith done for you? What has it gotten for you? Well, he said, the salvation of your souls. Man, I remember my night. I went to church a lot. Raised up in church. Till I got big enough where my daddy thought I could make my own choices and I didn't have to go. I went if I wanted to go. I didn't go if I didn't want to go. And then I got saved. Oh, man. My sins fell off. The burden dropped. I changed my lifestyle, or the Lord changed my lifestyle. We certainly got to change. What I used to love to do, I didn't do anymore. And what I had thought of as the most boring thing in the world, now was my life. And I didn't find it boring at all. It was wonderful. Go listen to some old preacher preach. Oh, that was great. Praise the Lord. Go out and talk to people who hated my guts, didn't want me in their house, didn't want to hear what I had to say. That was great fun. What a tremendous challenge. The salvation of your soul. You know the thing about it is, you can't get saved without faith. You can't see and get it. I'm on the way to Lassie. Somebody said, I'm on the way to Lassie. Yeah. You just keep right on waiting because you're not going to see. But by faith, you take God at His Word. He'll forgive your sins and save your soul and change your life for all eternity. Amen. You say, well, I'm not a real religious person. I'm not a very good person. And yeah, I'm probably headed for hell. That's right. That's who Jesus died for. Some people say, well, I don't believe in foxhole conversions. You know, a guy gets in a war, everything gets bad, all of a sudden they start calling on God. Thief on the cross is a pretty good foxhole conversion. And you know how I know that guy made it? Jesus said so. I mean, you can think, well, I don't think he made it. I don't think he got in there. Well, what are you doing? You're going to deny what the Lord tells him right there on the cross of Calvary? This day thou shalt be with me in paradise. Now let me tell you what's more precious than gold, the salvation of your soul.
Amen. Right.
Yes, it is. The salvation of your soul, gained by faith, received by faith, because you believe God, you trusted God, God saves your soul and changes your life. And not only here, and I have had a better life here because I'm an American Christian, but I've had a better life here than I would have had if I hadn't gotten saved. But I'm going to live for eternity in heaven.
Amen.
All that that term brings up, heaven.
Amen.
Somebody says, this is heaven. No, friend, this ain't heaven.
That's right.
Somebody says, this is hell. No, it's just a sort of a preview. It's not hell. It's just a preview of hell. The salvation of your soul by simple faith. What faith bring you? Your sins are forgiven. Your soul is saved. You belong to Jesus. You changed families. Praise God. Look down in the chapter to verse 13. Wherefore, I've tried to teach you over the years, that's like a conclusion. Anytime you find a wherefore or therefore, look at what went before and here's the conclusion. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Gird up the loins of your mind. That is beautiful. Have you read it and thought about it very much? Gird up the loins of your mind. Now, the men in this day, and the women, all wore robes. You could tell a man's robe from a woman's robe. They were not the same clothes. But they were robes nevertheless. Pants came in during the Renaissance and were outlawed by most everybody for the first while because they were showing legs. That was called nasty then. They ought to see some of our movies. But what you did when you got ready to work, you pulled your robe up to just about to your knees and tied your belt tighter. You ever seen any of these great big boys do weightlifting? I mean the hefty guys. Remember that great big Russian? You're probably too young to remember that great big Russian, but he would just break his last record by 1 or 2 pounds each time, you know. He got ahead of everybody else, and then every year he would go he could have done the whole thing the first year, but he wouldn't have got all those trophies. Every year, that guy's 350 pounds or whatever, and he'd growl a little bit and grunt and reach out there and grab about 600 pounds and
wow.
And he'd stand there trembling and then he'd drop it. Boom! Thing bounce up and the whole place go. You know what he wore? A belt. A great big belt around his loins. Look at some of your weightlifters that go into lifting heavy weights. They wear a belt around their loins. They gird up their loins before they take on the heavy task. He's telling you to mentally get prepared. By faith, you put the belt on and tighten it up on your thoughts. Gird up the loins of your mind. Some of you think too loosely. That's why you can't accomplish anything. You need to concentrate. You need to come to the place to put some things out of your life and concentrate in certain areas. Not anything you couldn't win if you decided to go at it and really meant it. The problem with most of us is we don't tighten up our mind. We leave it loose. That's why the diets don't work. That's why changing your habits don't work, because you leave too much leeway to do anything you want to do. Gird up the loins of your mind, he said, and hope to the end. Don't be giving up when the heaviness hits you. Don't be giving up when it looks impossible. Don't be giving up when everything around you that you can see denies what you believe. Gird up the loins of your mind and hope to the end. And then notice he says in verse 14, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. By faith, you take your mind to task and you bring it into subjection. Gird up the loins of your mind. You hope to the end you're going to be with Jesus right on down through the wire. I'm not quitting. I'm not giving up. I'm not giving in.
Right.
I belong to Jesus. And I'm going to walk with him the rest of the way. Verlene and I used to have a little saying, divorce never, murder maybe. One of these days, remember Jackie Gleason? Pow! And not just on my part. She would like to boot me out of the house a few times. I don't know why. Yeah, I bet. Then notice verse 15. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Let me tell you something. The testimony of Christianity is pretty poor in our generation. Our testimony is pretty poor. We need some people walking that bring testimony to the life of Christ that they have.
Right. Amen.
Let me ask you, how are you walking? Could anybody recognize you as a Christian? Or would they question your Christianity? He said, be holy. Well, I know you can't be perfect.
Right.
None of us are perfect.
Right.
But hey, you could be a whole lot better than what you are without trying half.
That's right.
With hardly at all. Any effort at all, you could improve your condition. Am I right?
Yes.
He said, be holy. You're a child of God. You've been saved by the grace of God. He said, be holy. I want to go back and cover a couple of verses. One of them is verse 6. Wherein ye greatly rejoice. Though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations. These people are rejoicing in the midst of heaviness. These people are greatly rejoicing in the salvation of their souls, and they're going through trials and troubles. He also says in verse 8, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice. Yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Oh, my friend, does your kind of Christianity let you rejoice in the salvation of God, in the promise of God, in the Word of God, in the midst of your trouble? It's a sad thing. Some people with very small troubles can't rejoice in Christ anymore. And yet we know Christians have gone through great troubles and great tragedies. And they still look back and say, oh, I don't like this going on here, but I rejoice that I'm saved. My sins are gone. I preach a gospel that gives peace and grace and help and hope. I thank God for that.
Amen.
I rejoice with joy unspeakable because of what God has given to me. Now look down at verse 18. For as much as you know, what do you know? The Bible tells us we can know some things. Oh, we got a bunch of smart people in the world. They think you can't know anything. No, we can know. For as much as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. You didn't buy your way out. Nobody paid so much silver to get your soul redeemed. Nobody went down with a couple of gold bars to redeem your soul. No, that's shabby and cheap. He said, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot.
Amen.
Let me tell you what, I am redeemed today.
Amen.
I have been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. My soul, my life, my testimony, everything I have belongs to Jesus. I'm not my own anymore. I'm not my own anymore. No matter what happens to me, I'm not my own anymore. I belong to Jesus Christ. Are you saved here today? Have you been born again, really? Are you just coming to church, or you really have a salvation experience? Boy, don't play around with that. A little easy believism will land you in hell. Hell's going to be full of Christians. Hell's going to be full of preachers. I've made some people mad saying that. There are a whole lot of preachers that are lost. A lot of people that are up preaching this morning are going to spend eternity in hell if they don't get saved. They think they're good, or they think their works perform it, or their baptism does it, or some other something does it. Buddy, I want you to know the blood of Jesus Christ is the only thing that can wash away your sins. And the blood of Jesus Christ is the only thing that will please God. I don't care whether you like the idea of the blood or not, it's God that it's important to.
Amen.
You're redeemed. Not with anything as corruptible as gold or silver, but with the precious blood of Christ. And you know what it's going to take for you to believe that? Faith. In the Word of God. There came a day. I said, is it true? Is it not true? Can I believe it? Should I believe it? I don't know whether I should believe it. And one day, I said, Lord, you said it. That's right. I'd heard. God was a merciful God. If you were a repentant sinner, He'd hear you. And I called on Him. I tested Him. I said, Lord, I'm a wicked sinner. I deserve to go to hell. But you paid my debts, what I heard. I've heard you'd forgive me if I'd repent. And I repented the best I knew how. Asked God to forgive me everything I could think of and things I didn't remember. And you know what? That changed my life.
Amen.
Today could be your day. Today could change your life. You're here without Christ. You got religion, but you don't have salvation. You know a little religion, but you don't know the promises. Well, here's a promise. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved.
Amen.
Here's a promise. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Will you believe it enough to call upon Him? He'll save your soul and change your life. But Christian friend, your faith being tested. Well, God's trying to make you rich.
Amen.
You, by faith, go right through the heaviness, the temptation, the trial, and the testing. And you trust God's promises anyway. God's trying to make you rich. We're going to sing number 249. If you're here today without the Lord Jesus Christ, I invite you to come and call upon Him and be saved. Would you do that? If you're here, my Christian friend, and God has dealt with your heart, burdened you, have something you need to take care of with God, this altar's open. Let's sing.